Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
Here or over the internet at WVKO1580.com. Fight Back is produced in part by the Columbus Free Press and 1580 WVKO.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio. AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with a new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, take it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
How would you like to have your garage back? You know, so you can actually get your car inside? Why not make room by storing all that stuff you have in the garage at Morningstar Mini Storage of South High? Morningstar Mini Storage offers clean, safe, secure storage units in sizes up to 10 by 30. Or make Morningstar Mini Storage your garage. You can store your car for just $39 a month, or any size boat, RV, or trailer for just $49 a month. Or take advantage of their new special, a 5x15 or 10x10 unit for just $69 a month. Find their online coupons at MorningstarMiniStorage.com. Morningstar Mini Storage has convenient 24-hour access 7 days a week, a state-of-the-art security system, a moving van, and packing materials too. Morningstar Mini Storage, 3391 South High Street at Williams Road, just north of I-270. Call 497-0000 or visit them online at MorningstarMiniStorage.com. Morningstar Mini Storage of South High, 497-0000.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meatpackers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street downtown. Meatpackers Outlet is family-owned and operated and proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meatpackers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items. This week's specials include pork spare ribs for $2.19 a pound. Deli sliced baked ham is just $2.99 a pound. A 5-pound bag of chicken drumsticks, $5.99. And beef chuck roast is just $3.49 a pound. Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, close Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main, downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
Tune in Sunday night at 9 as we dig into the vinyl vault on the new 1580 WVKO. Hi, I'm Tim Morris. Join me this Sunday evening from 9 to midnight. We'll dig through the old record library and pull out platters that haven't been heard on the airwaves in years. Join me this Sunday at 9, and we'll party like it's 1969.
Don't you ever listen to the radio when the big band
beats. Hi, this is Kenny Pick from Turn Up the Night. Be sure to check out my show every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk. If you tune in, you might hear something like this.
It is time for all Americans to realize how significant this election is.
Okay.
And how lucky we are to have someone with qualifications and experience and know-how to be able to have the opportunity to run this country.
Into the ground. Sorry. Oh, no,
so fortunate, aren't we?
She's angry at the other Republicans saying, if you think you can do better, you should get in the ring. Well, a lot of them did.
Well, yeah. She said it's time for all Americans to realize how lucky he even performs for you bastards.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No.
No.
That's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pig, every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk.
If you are in need of design and printing services, there are plenty of places you can go. In fact, there are about 200 in the Columbus area alone. But of course, they're not all the same. Our Design and Printing is a local, independently owned company that specializes in professional graphics design. And we offer a full range of printing services. Full color printing, posters, business cards, flyers, postcards, invoices, carbonless forms, letterhead, and envelopes. You can count on Our Design and Printing for fast turnaround and reasonable prices. Just off High Street in the Short North at 30 East 4th Avenue, across from the post office. And Our Design and Printing has plenty of convenient free parking, too. Call Julie or Dave at 299-1420, that's 299-1420, for your local, independently owned progressive graphics design and printing company, Our Design and Printing. Visit them online at rdesignandprinting.com, that's the letter R, designandprinting.com.
Welcome to the Blue State Diner with your host, Michael Allwood. Come on in, sit right down, and fill up your cup. No comment card to fill out. Just give Michael your feedback right now by calling 614-821-1580. And now, here's Michael.
Wow, things are happening fast here in the Blue State Diner today, boy. Everything's going on. Dr. Bob is leaving the studio. All kinds of guests are leaving. Guests are coming in. But right now on the phone, we have the former Secretary of State for the state of Ohio, Jennifer Bruner, is on the line. Jennifer, it's so good to talk to you once again. How are you doing?
Great, Michael. Good to talk to you, too.
I remember 2008 I had you on my program. And that particular program, we had a basketball game that preceded the show, and the darn thing went into, like, triple overtime or something. And Jennifer was so sweet, she stayed on the line the whole time, and I was making small talk with you during the whole course of that, and you were so kind to stay on the line, and I remember that very fondly, and I thank you for it.
Well, what a memory. That's very sweet of you.
So, I wanted you on for a couple of reasons. The first one is, you have a new book out. It's called Cupcakes and Courage. Tell us about why you wrote the book in the first place, and tell us a little bit about what it's about.
Cupcakes and Courage is basically a political memoir, but it talks a lot about the experiences that my staff and I had going into the Secretary of State's office after Ken Blackwell, having 22 months to turn around an election process that was badly damaged in the eyes of the nation. And then the experiences since then in running for the U.S. Senate. But the focus is on democracy and how that, if it's focused on, will create better politics for all of us. I know here in Ohio in the battleground state, we're pretty sick and tired of what it's like to listen to all these crazy political ads.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I just want to remind people that a little bit later on in the program, I have a conversation I recorded earlier this week talking to Ted Strickland. And one of the things I talked to Ted about was the contrast between yourself, Jennifer, and the current Secretary of State in Ohio, that being Husted, John Husted. And by the way, I'll just give you a heads up, Jennifer, the governor had very nice things to say about you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I tried when I left office to give whoever was going to be following me a blueprint that would make it easy, basically, for the people of Ohio, because that's really all that we care about in any kind of transition. It's not anybody's particular office. Nobody owns it. The people of the state own it. And all I really wanted was that the work and the reforms that we made in the election process to still be there for Ohioans even after I was gone.
I'm sorry, we have another guest in the studio, Jennifer, Gina Miller Shelton, who is going to be talking about John Husted's efforts to take this early voting issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I would ask you now, if you would please, to give me your opinion. And this is the point that I was making to Ted Strickland when I talked to him, was that the contrast is when you were in office as Secretary of State, you did everything in your power to make voting more accessible to all Ohioans, and it seems like the efforts of John Husted have been the antithesis of that.
I will say that Secretary Husted has always had an issue about creating uniformity, but the biggest problem with that is it's a short-sighted view, because uniform doesn't mean equal. And
nor fair.
Correct, because if you have two people who start out in different walks of life, to get them to the same point where they have the same access to voting may require more effort for one than for another. And to actually set our statewide standards to what's necessary or what it's like to vote in a place that's so rural and so small, such as like Vinton County, we're really shortchanging people in the urban areas where we have greater population, where we may have poor inner city individuals who don't have the same ability to get to places to be able to vote or to have the access to wait in line. And I'm afraid he's creating a lot of long lines with the cutoff on the weekend voting. I will say, I'm sure Gene is going to address this more when it comes to the Supreme Court. Look, we are less than 4 weeks from the election. We're getting closer to 3 weeks from the election. This whole issue of the last weekend of voting, what does it hurt? And when you create and continue this uncertainty for boards of elections, the likelihood that this early vote in this last weekend is going to be available, or that the boards are going to be adequately prepared, becomes dimmer and dimmer. And I guess my last question is, what's wrong with people voting?
I think that's a very good question, Jennifer, and we have a caller on the line with a question for you. Caller.
Hi, is it me?
Yes.
Oh, I am so sorry. Hi, I have a question. Oh, forgive me. I know. Let me turn down the radio. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
The first rule of calling to talk radio is turn down your radio. So I believe it's Judith on the line. Judith, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, your question, please.
Jennifer, help me to understand this question that I have for you, please. Mitt Romney's company, everybody knows Bain Capital, okay? Bain Capital indirectly owns another company called Heart InterCivic. Heart InterCivic owns electronic voting machines that we will be voting on in November. That's ludicrous. It's a fact.
Well, we have two counties in Ohio that use the Heart InterCivic system, which are Hamilton County in Cincinnati,
right,
and Williams County,
mm-hmm,
in the far northwest part of Ohio. I don't know to what extent there's ownership,
mm-hmm,
but I can tell you this, that the counties that have been using those two machines, those two systems, pardon me, have been using them since approximately 2005 or 2006.
Right. But
and
that's
so,
not
so
in, indicative only to Ohio. You know, that's other states in the nation as well. Okay, now my whole point is, how can that be balanced if we're going to be voting on a voting machine that he has anything to do with? That is, you know, that's scary.
Well, it certainly creates a questionable appearance and an appearance of impropriety.
Sure.
To try to ease your mind a little bit, though, it's your local election officials who will be operating the system, so it's not like they're having to rely on some sort of a database that is, you know, being controlled by Heart InterCivic that's actually tabulating the votes. So the vote tabulations will occur in computers, hard drives that are in the possession and on the premises of the individual boards of elections, wherever they are. Now we're at a point, fortunately, where the systems that are used are actually tested with greater integrity by the Election Assistance Commission in Washington, D.C. So in terms of any type of software, that would be used in the tabulating system in the computers that are in the boards of elections, those should have been tested for integrity by the Election Assistance Commission. But you are absolutely right, Judith. It doesn't look good.
And Jennifer, I have been told in the last couple of days that, in fact, the FBI is going to be keeping a very close watch on the election process in Ohio. Do you have any information about that?
No, I don't. But I can tell you shenanigans that have gone on before, not just in Ohio but other states, are, for instance, phone calls going to certain voters saying that the Republicans vote on one day and the Democrats vote on another day. One of the most egregious things that I'm aware of are bogus calls being made to the police or to the sheriff's office that there's a disturbance at a polling place, and it's usually made regarding a polling place that's in a heavily populated area with perhaps a lot of low income or racial minority people. And then, you see, because the law in Ohio is that on election day, the law enforcement is not to be at a polling place because that really constitutes intimidation. And so by making a bogus call like that and the police show up, you may have someone who's very fearful of the police who thinks, well, you know, maybe they could arrest me if I have outstanding parking tickets or a warrant for my arrest that I know about that they haven't found me yet. And I'm not saying that's a good thing for somebody to be in a position about, but they still have the right to vote.
That's classic voter intimidation, though.
Of course it is. Of course it is. So, and you know, ironically, when we heard all these cries about voter fraud in 2008, voter suppression is another form of voter fraud. I mean,
absolutely.
When you allow people who don't have the right to vote, or you do things to keep people who rightfully are able to vote from voting, you are committing voter fraud.
But there's more cases of suppression than there is actual fraud.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact in 2008, when the early voting location in Franklin County was at Vets Memorial, and I don't know what went into putting it at Morse Road in Franklin County, where it takes a minimum of 43 minutes to get a bus from Broadden High up there, which means most people who have to take a bus to a voting to early voting are going to have to make a connection, and it could be riding between an hour and 2 hours. But my point being was you had operatives of what appeared to be the Franklin County Republican Party or the Ohio Republican Party actually in the parking lot and taking down license plates of people who showed up to vote, especially during that period of time where there was an overlap of early voting and registration. That's nothing but intimidation.
And with the intent to purge them from the voting rolls. Jennifer, we have another caller with a question. Caller,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, is this me?
Yes, it's you.
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm surprised Michael hasn't asked you this because it's breaking news. Apparently a couple of the county boards have gone ahead and voted to have the final weekend voting, I think Butler and Licking. And I'm just curious whether the current Secretary of State hasn't fired those officials like they fired the two guys in Montgomery County. What's the end game here?
Are you saying they're voting on that last weekend?
Yes.
Well, this will be interesting. I'm not sure that his instructions to the board specifically prevented them from doing anything. But again, you know, my analysis of this is where he put himself in a very bad position was, you know, I was faced similarly with tie votes of boards of elections on whether or not to have extended polling hours for early voting. And I always broke them in favor of yes, you'll have the extended hours. Now, the minute that he broke them in favor of no, we won't have extended hours, and then a county like Warren County said, well, will the Republicans said with the Democrats, because there's two Republicans and two Democrats
right.
on every board, where the Republicans said, why don't we have extended hours? He put himself in a position where the optics were very, very bad, where here you had the Democratic large urban counties being told, no, you can't have extended hours, and red suburban Republican rural counties being able to have extended voting hours. So that then put him in a position where he had to say, all right, we'll have no weekend voting hours, which really caused a ruckus among a lot of people. And
You're at a loss for words, sounds like.
I'm sorry, Michael. He wants uniformity, but it's impossible in a state like Ohio. We are such a diverse state, and that is why we are a battleground state. So we have to respect that diversity and go a step higher and say equality doesn't necessarily mean that everything is exactly the same, but it's this higher goal that everyone has equal access.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were saying before, that equality or universal situations does not mean fair or equal. And there are different situations. You know, the 94-year-old woman who can't maybe get on a bus to go up to Morse Road or wherever, the situations are different wherever you go.
Yes, they are. And the bottom line is that on election day, this is where we celebrate the power of the individual in a democracy. It's the one day where everyone is equal. It doesn't matter what your station in life is, but you get the right to vote. And under the Voting Rights Act, we must provide them the opportunity to be able to exercise that right.
Jennifer Bruner, former Secretary of State of the state of Ohio. Jennifer, I thank you so much for being on with us today. Tell us where we can get your book, Cupcakes and Courage.
You can order this on Amazon.com, and there are three editions of the book in case you have questions. There's one that I've put out to benefit the Women's Campaign Fund, another to benefit Progress Ohio, and then the other is the original of the book, and you can get it in hard copy and paperback, or you can order it directly from Amazon to go into a Kindle ebook edition, so it would upload to your computer or your iPad or your Kindle.
Excellent. Brian Rothenberg of Progress Ohio is a friend of the program, friend of the station. And Jennifer, I hope to be talking to you again soon.
Thank you, and thanks for what you're doing.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll be right back in the Blue State Diner with Gina Miller-Shelton. We're going to talk some more about John Husted, that's for sure.
Michael's serving up more of the best talk in town right after these fine businesses pick up the tab.
Hi, this is Kenny Pick from Turn Up the Night. Be sure to check out my show every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk. If you tune in, you might hear something like this.
It is time for all Americans to realize how significant this election is.
Okay.
And how lucky we are to have someone with qualifications and experience and know-how to be able to have the opportunity to run this country.
Into the ground.
She's fortunate, aren't we?
She's angry at the other Republicans saying, if you think you can do better, you should get in the ring. Well, a lot of them did.
Well, yeah. She said it's time for all Americans to realize how lucky he even performs for you bastards.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No.
No.
That's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick, every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with a new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African-American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, make it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
Be sure to thank those businesses for paying the bill here at Blue State Diner. Now back to your server, Michael Allwood.
Thank you, Richard! I am joined in studio right now by Gina Miller Sheldon, who has come here today to enlighten us all on the exploits, the doings, and the undoings of our Secretary of State, John Husted. Gina, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure.
So as Michael said, I'm here to talk a little bit about the most current decisions by the Secretary of State, and then I hope to discuss those briefly, but more importantly, try to share some resources and information. We are, as Jennifer said, very close to Election Day, and as we make decisions, as you're trying to figure out your voting rights, where can you go to get the best information as targets, unfortunately, are moving right now? And
yeah, moving targets, yeah. John Husted, talk about his efforts in terms of rolling back early voting, steps he's taken, and particularly I want to know about his efforts to move it to the U.S. Supreme Court and where the timetable is on that.
I think the timetable on that decision is something that voting rights groups have been following very closely. It is confusing to voters, and it makes it difficult for people to know when they can vote. Right now, I believe they had a conference call with counsel on Friday. Justice Kagan is actually reviewing the case to decide if it's even going to be granted cert. You have to be granted cert before the Supreme Court will even hear your appeal. We expect to hear a decision on that Monday or Tuesday. It'll have to be a very abbreviated case. And so now I guess we just wait and hope by Tuesday we have an answer as to whether they're
going to hear it.
Whether they're going to hear it. And once they hear it, both sides will have to file briefs and
Can take some time.
They expedite them, and they usually count weekends as your days. So if they tell you you have 48 hours and it's Friday at midnight, you literally have...
So we could actually have a decision well prior to Election Day.
Yes. Well prior to Election Day in terms of the time we have left, but perhaps not until that last week of early voting, whether those last 3 days will be available. And I think that's confusing to folks.
Yeah. So what do you think prompted this action?
I think that the former Secretary of State, Bruner, is correct. This Secretary of State believes very strongly that the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution requires that everything be
uniform.
And his public statements have been that the Sixth Circuit decision, which was that if boards were going to be open, everybody got to vote, but that the Secretary of State did not have to set uniform hours for them, that not setting the uniform hours would cause him to violate the Constitution. And I don't agree with that personally, and I'm not sure that the court will agree with that.
Well, you know, I have a theory. And by the way, Gina, I want you to stay right here,
mm-hmm.
but what I want to do right now is to play a conversation that I had with Ted Strickland earlier this week. Okay, so I want you to sit here with me and listen along as I talk to the former governor. Joining us now in the Blue State Diner, the former governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. And I'm so happy to be talking to you again, Governor. You know, a lot has been going on here in Ohio, and I personally... And I know many of our listeners are concerned about voter suppression efforts in our state. And I just wanted to ask you what you thought of Secretary of State John Husted's move this week to take his case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, I was very disappointed in Secretary Husted. I think what he's doing is unnecessary, costly, can lead to confusion among the electorate. And I see no reason for him doing what he did. He can bring this issue to a close by simply saying we're going to have early voting on that weekend before November the 6th for everybody in every county. And that would just bring this controversy to an end. But for some reason, it seems that the Secretary is willing to waste money and waste time and create confusion in an attempt to somehow benefit his political party. And that's unfortunate. A Secretary of State should not be acting in such a manner.
I think of the contrast between the way Jennifer Bruner had all her efforts went towards making voting more accessible to all citizens, And it seems, you know, and a year ago, I would not thought that John Husted would have done these sorts of things because he was sort of an ally in terms of voting. But something happened, I think, that made him change his mind about that. And it's very transparent that his goal is to keep down Democratic voters.
You know, you are absolutely correct in your observation, I believe. Initially, early on, Secretary Husted seemed to be conducting himself and overseeing the Secretary of State office in a way that all Ohioans could feel confident about. He seemed to be attempting to be fair and balanced. But his recent behaviors have, I think, really damaged his image among the people of Ohio, because they now are coming to see him as an increasingly partisan, biased Secretary of State. And I think that will be very harmful to John Husted as he attempts to continue his political career in the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, the rumor is that he has hopes to be the governor someday.
Well, maybe he's trying to cave in to the extreme right-wing element within his party. If so, that's unfortunate. He has a sacred obligation to oversee our elections in a way that protects and, I believe, expands the opportunity of people to access the ballot. And you're absolutely right. When Jennifer Bruner was our Secretary of State, she worked to increase access and opportunity, and John Husted seems to be doing just the opposite.
My theory is that Karl Rove and the Koch brothers got to him, but I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on that.
Well, I think that's a reasonable theory, but I have no proof that that's the case.
Okay, Governor, one last question, because I know your time is short. A lot of liberals and progressives have been despondent over the last couple of weeks after the initial presidential debate and the resulting poll bump for Mitt Romney. But I have a feeling that this race is long from over. I think that we're going to be finding out a lot of things over the next few weeks. Do you share my anticipation?
Yes, I do, and I feel confident. You know, I would much rather be in the President Obama's position right now than in Mitt Romney's, especially when you look at the battleground states. And I am so proud of Ohio, because we've had a couple of recent polls come out to indicate that that the president has a good lead in Ohio. And I would remind you and all of your listeners that no Republican has ever won the presidency without winning Ohio. And if we hang tight in Ohio and give President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden a majority of our Ohio votes, they will be reelected. And I think there will be no path to victory for Mitt Romney if we deprive him of Ohio's electoral votes.
All right. Well, we're all doing our best to see that that happens. Governor, it's great to talk to you once again. I know you're busy, and you're doing a great job out there, and I commend you for all of your efforts in this behalf.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you and all of your listeners have a great day.
All right, Governor. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Gina, I ask you to listen to the response that Ted Strickland had to my theory that somebody has intervened on behalf of Republicans, if you will, in terms of Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm currently working for a nonpartisan organization that is just focused on citizens' voting rights mm-hmm. and making sure that people have fair, free, and accessible elections. So on that note, I'm not going to say anything one way or the other.
That's quite all right.
But what I do want to say, we've talked a lot about the Supreme Court decision, but I think what has not gotten a lot of play, which could have just as big of an impact on people's voting rights, if not bigger, is the recent vote-by-mail directives the Secretary of State has issued. And I think I with your permission, would like to talk about those for
go
a
ahead.
Second. Because the Secretary of State has made a big push to mail vote-by-mail applications to all Ohioans, which I think was a good way to increase access to the ballot.
As long as they get counted.
Exactly. In recent, in the past elections, if you have voted by mail, you'll notice that is the forms for both your ballot and your application have asked for the optional information of your phone number or your email address. Because if there was a problem with your ballot...
But then he sent out a directive saying what?
He sent out... So the boards have called everyone, and they did this in 08 and in 10. He recently issued a directive stating that they can only contact you by first-class mail if there is a problem with your application or with your ballot. And so...
To what end?
So if you do not correct it, you will, one, either not get the ballot in the mail... Or your ballot will not count.
Then why do they ask for the phone number and email address?
Which is a question I have. Folks, you know what, are taking personal responsibility and providing that optional information so they can correct their mistakes, and now you're limiting access. And the only way for a voter now to be sure is if you live someplace like Franklin, you can check online, or you're going to have to personally call your county board of elections and ask them, was my application or my ballot complete?
Can I ask you to stay around for a little while longer?
I'm here until 1 o'clock.
All right. But because the reason is, I'll tell you a little story. Earlier this week, I got a call from Madeleine Albright, the former U.S. Secretary of State under Bill Clinton. And we had a nice chat. And then following the vice presidential debate on Thursday, late yesterday, I got an email from Madeleine. And she wanted to talk to me again. She wanted to talk to me about the debate that happened on Thursday night. It was late in the day yesterday that she called. In fact, it was leading up to our football game that we had on last night, which went into three overtimes, by the way. And I'm talking to Gary Richards in particular right now because I had to board up that football game that ran well past 10 o'clock. Anyway, I was here all day, but I talked to Madeleine Albright, and we had a very long chat, and I'm only going to play part of that discussion for you, but I think that you will find it interesting. But you know what? This team, Romney Ryan, they do seem to be playing with their own book of facts and have all along.
Well, I mean, I think saying flip-flopper is an understatement. I mean, you honestly don't know which Romney you're going to see. You know, I mean, one of the ways, the things that he said the other night with President Obama, the things that he said on the trail, and then the things that he actually says to his donors that come out later on video, the 47%. And then, I don't know how many people know this, but as part of a video also, there was a discussion that Governor Romney had, kind of, the question was that if something like the Iran hostage crisis came up, how he could take advantage of it for political reasons, seems to me is what's going on the Libya issue. So there are a number of arenas and places that Governor Romney says different things and changes his position, and maybe Congressman Ryan has a hard time keeping up with it.
Yeah, now the next debate is Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
I think that's right, yeah.
What are you expecting to see in that debate?
Well, that's a foreign policy debate. And so what I'm hoping will become very evident are, you know, who is qualified to be commander-in-chief. That's what this is about. President Obama has been, I believe, a remarkable commander-in-chief for the last 4 years of having dealt with some very, very tough issues, making decisions about how to end our military involvement in Iraq and now in Afghanistan, doing what he said he would do as far as Osama bin Laden is concerned. Osama bin Laden is dead, and the major kind of central aspect of al-Qaeda has been very seriously destroyed and damaged, and he has also dealt with issues of having very complicated relationships with the Russians and the Chinese and making some very hard decisions. I've said, and I may have said this to you the other day, is that I wanted always a confident president and not a certain president, a confident president is somebody who listens to a lot of different opinions, makes up his mind, and follows through. A certain president is somebody who doesn't even know what he doesn't know, and makes bold statements without thinking through the consequences of them. And what I hope comes out in this debate is that you can't just bluster about things you're going to do, and that might lead us into war. And that's what I think will probably come out in the debate.
And I'll go back again to the vice presidential debate. Romney has done the same thing, but Ryan was making these statements saying that somehow the administration's actions in the last 4 years have made America less safe because of the actions of the president. And I don't know how anybody could take that little talking point and make sense of it. It doesn't make sense to me, and I know that Mitt Romney's going to try and do it again.
Well, I think it's preposterous, frankly. I mean, again, it's one of what you said earlier. You can't play with your own set of facts. Our exposure, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, by the way, it isn't President Obama that got us into Iraq. It is some of the people that are now advising Governor Romney. If people liked what President Bush brought us, the same people are now advising Governor Romney. So it is something that President Obama has followed through and ended our military exposure in Iraq. He has said that our military, our combat troops will be out of Afghanistan at the end of 14. And he is making that very clear, and he has, in fact, gone after and managed to make sure that Osama bin Laden no longer exists, and he understands the continued threat of terrorism in various places, and he is working on what is one of the major issues, is making our economy function for the middle class. So I do think that all those issues are intertwined, and I think I really do hope that it's very clear in the next debate that we have a commander-in-chief who has been very concerned about keeping America secure and somebody who keeps changing his mind.
Yes, and you know, sometimes when I listen to Romney and Ryan, I get the idea that they want to go back into Iraq. And part of me wants them to keep talking like that because I know that the majority of the American people do not want us to go back to Iraq.
Well, they do not. And I think many people didn't want us in there in the first place. And then the other part, I mean, Congressman Ryan, in the debate, I thought he was very unclear about what it was that they were going to do in Afghanistan. It made it sound like he didn't want American forces to leave. When President Obama's plan with Vice President Biden is basically, we have been training the Afghan forces to take over their own responsibilities in their own country. So I think that, and the other part that bothers me a lot are some of the statements on Iran by the Romney-Ryan team makes it sound as if, you know, they want another war. The last thing we need is another war in the Middle East.
Absolutely. Madam Secretary, you're doing a great job out there. You always have done a great job at whatever you have done, and I thank you so much for calling in today.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for asking. Well, this is such an important election, and Ohio is absolutely key, and there's some very smart people that listen to you that I think it makes a difference to have an intelligent discussion about this. Thank you so much, Michael.
You're quite welcome, and I hope to talk to you again sometime.
Hope so, too. Thanks.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
More of the Blue State Diner coming up after these brief messages.
You gotta fight for your right to
run. If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with the new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, make it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
Be sure to thank those businesses for paying the bill here at Blue State Diner. Now back to your server, Michael Allwood.
Thanks, Rick. Back in the studio with Gina Miller-Shelton, and I want to just ask you briefly, Gina, if people need more information about all these voting issues, where do they go?
Great. Michael, I am working with the nonpartisan voting rights group here in Ohio this election that our only concern is your vote counts and that you have a free, fair, and accessible election. So there's a couple things you can do. You can find us on the website at 866rvote.org, or you can call us with any questions or concerns or problems you have now or on Election Day at 866rvote. We are also looking for folks who are interested in this and want to help us by volunteering on Election Day, going to some polling locations where people traditionally have problems and might be willing to answer questions. You can volunteer on the website, or my email is Gina, G-E-N-A, at statevoices.org. Shoot me an email. I'll happy to hook you up. I think the important thing is that we get good information out there and that we communicate with our neighbors so everybody can vote. Irregardless of party and who you're going to check the box for, the important thing about America is that everybody has a free, fair, and accessible election.
Are you at all concerned about what happens in the process? We heard callers earlier talking about the fact that Bain Capital people have control of some of the voting apparatuses in Ohio, and there are other voting apparatuses in Ohio that are also controlled by Republican interests. Are you concerned about that?
No, I'm not, and I respect that people are, and I think it's great that they're engaged enough to research. What I want people to know and have faith in is that after 2004, Bush v. Gore, really great safeguard procedures were put into place. Jennifer Bruner talked about them a little bit. If you could see the time and energy that goes on behind these scenes with these elections employees who take their jobs so seriously because they understand how important a clean election is, you would feel better. I mean, I have seen them do conference calls with anti-hacking, sort of antivirus software companies to make sure that you can't penetrate. They run tests to make sure you can't hack, that the machine isn't going to crash. And they really are not in the control of those companies. They sold them to you, but now we own it. And so have
well,
faith.
Well, I'll tell you what. I do feel a little better after hearing Jennifer today. And by the way, Gina, thank you so much for being here. And I have been promising my listeners that I was going to talk to Jason Alexander. And you know what? I'm going to do that right now.
Great.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll pop my... We are very happy to be having with us today Jason Alexander. Jason, thanks for calling in, and I just wanted to ensure domestic tranquility. I have to tell you, the lovely Veronica, as soon as I told her I was going to be talking to you, she said, you have to tell them what big fans we are.
I said, well, you tell the lovely Veronica, I'm very flattered.
Well, we are fans, and to let you know, I mean, since Seinfeld has been off the air, I have not watched any other sitcoms until recently when we became fans of The Big Bang Theory. And
sure, good show. Good taste, by the way. Good for you.
Well, thank you very much. Well, Jason, how did you get involved with the campaign?
Michael, I actually got involved back in 08. My level of political engagement has been growing in my adult life, mostly since... about 20 years ago when I had my kids, and I went, oh, look, there's a real world around us that my children are going to grow up in. Perhaps I should take note of it. And I was really compelled by the 08 campaign. I thought, we had two very interesting candidates in McCain and the president, and I became passionately supportive of Barack Obama. And word of that must have gotten out, and I was called and asked to go out as a surrogate and go around to different places of the country and talk about why I was so passionate about him. And I was only too happy to do it again in this election because, if anything, I'm even more passionate about them this time around. I think this is such a, and listen, I'm no genius. Everybody thinks this. This is a critical election, a vital election. I really do believe that this election is going to determine possibly anywhere between the next 10 to 20 years of the direction our country takes. And there are some pretty clear choices here. Clearly, I am a fan of President Obama. I think he's done superlative work under extraordinarily hard conditions. I think his policies are right on. I don't see much coming from the other side that makes me think that has the answers. And so I called up and said, if you need me, I'm here. And so I'm going around to primarily the swing states, you know, and talking to people and finding out what they think and making sure that people are registered and people are going to take advantage of all the early voting. It's terrific in Ohio. There's great policy there. You don't want to get jammed up on election day trying to get to the polls. You know, you want to get your vote in and make sure that it's counted. So that's what we're doing, and I'm thrilled and proud to be able to do it.
Like you, I am just as passionate about the election this time around as I was in 2008. But I have concerns that not everybody else is feels as strongly as you and I do about it. Do you have any concerns like that?
Well, of course. You know, it was such a, you know, the conditions in 2008 were so extraordinary. You know, let's not be coy about it. The country was embracing for the first time a historic decision in electing an African-American man into the presidency. We almost overlooked what an extraordinary man he is by focusing on the fact that he was African-American. And there was a huge, you know, it made us feel extraordinary about ourselves because they were extraordinary times. Here we are 4 years later. Country has moved forward, I think, in a good direction, but it's done so very slowly. And a lot of people that were counting on enormous change have not felt enormous change, and so they are deflated. They feel like, you know, why engage if they're not going to see results quickly? Unfortunately, as in most things political, we do not see a lot of quick results. But we do see in this administration steady and positive results. And I, even more than the fact that I do think we see steady and positive results, I am very concerned about the policies that are being put on the table by the other side. I personally think, and it is a discussion. Listen, I'm no genius, and I respect and admire Republicans and conservatives that disagree with me. But I do think the policies that are being put forth by the Mitt Romney team are ultimately destructive for the progress we've made and where we've got to go. If I thought they had the better ideas, I'd be doing all this for him. I happen to think that the Democrats and specifically President Obama's team and their policies are the way to go. But I understand it's hard to get people who were all riled up last time and all excited and all optimistic to understand that these things take time. And it's especially hard to do it when they're hurting, when they're not sure if they're going to make their mortgage payment, when they're not sure if they're going to get their kid through school, you know, not sure going to have health care a month from now. These are all, you know, life and death situations, and they're real. So, you know, politics starts to feel kind of ethereal and theoretical when you're worried about whether dinner's going to be on the table.
We're talking to Jason Alexander. Jason, you mentioned several times policy. In reading up on you, I have learned that you've been to Israel a number of times, and you have concerns about that part of the world. And how would you judge... because one of the things Mitt Romney has been saying on the stump is that President Obama's policies in the Middle East have been wrong, and that he would improve those. Whose policies toward the Middle East do you feel most comfortable with?
Well, again, my problem with Mr. Romney is that there is no consistency in what he says. You know, up until a day or two ago when he spoke in front of the military, he had his basic policy on Israel specifically, but he did not think there was anybody to negotiate with the Palestinians, and that the best policy was to allow Israel to continue on without really giving much concern to the Palestinian cause. Now, I've done a great deal of work in the Middle East with a peace organization called One Voice that engages both Israelis and Palestinians in a dialogue about their own tenets for peace. one of the biggest problems happening on my last trip in Israel, which was about a year ago, is a lot of the Israeli population. It is a difficult situation because the Palestinians have two separate representatives. They have the West Bank with Mahmoud Abbas, and they have Hamas in Gaza. So it's very difficult. When you negotiate with Abbas, he can't deliver you Gaza. So the Israelis have been given a great reason to not negotiate. But the problem is, if you don't believe in a two-state solution for that area of the world, you are condemning Israel to destruction. Because it is it's a game of time. The Arab world and the Palestinians are going to outnumber the Israelis. They already outnumber them 10-1. It's going to increase exponentially over the next 20, 25 years. And by sheer numbers, the Israelis are going to lose ground. So if you don't have a president that is forcefully pushing Israelis and Palestinians back to the negotiating table with the absolute goal of having a two-state solution, then you're not doing any favors to Israel. And Mitt Romney stated unequivocally he didn't think Palestinians could be dealt with. Now, all of a sudden, that he realizes that is a ridiculous stance, he's backpedaling. I don't trust him. Obama has stayed the course with Israel the whole time. He's been a good friend to Israel. He may, in fact, have some qualms over the Iranian crisis with Mr. Netanyahu. But they are staunch allies. They are playing the same game together, and they do the right thing. I don't trust Romney at all with the Middle East.
Jason, by the way, you and I share another interest, and that is poker. I've watched you a number of times in different tournaments. And so just wanted to let you know that. What are you going to be doing for the next 3 weeks?
Biting my nails, I think. I am continuing to run around to the swing states pushing this drive to get the vote out and to keep talking about why I support the president. And again, Michael, it's not... I don't do this because I'm a celebrity, I can get cameras to show up. I do it because I'm a citizen, and I actually think all of us, all of us across the entire spectrum of our society need to be as engaged as we can be. I am passionate about this. I don't vilify the other side. We merely disagree. But both sides, I believe, want our country to move in a direction that makes it better for everyone. We are just opposed about how we get there. And if we don't get up and talk about why we support the things we support, then we're not serving each other. So I do it really out of a sense of citizenship. And I don't mean to offend conservatives. I don't mean to offend Republicans. But we are talking about two different sets of principles and two different candidates. And, when you favor one or the other over the other, there's no way of bumping into sensitivities. But I try to do it as respectfully as I can.
Well, that is great to hear from you. It lets me know your heart is in the right place. And I'm like you. I'm going to be biting my nails because I'm a little concerned. But still, I still think we're backing the right guy.
I do too. And you know what? I'm very optimistic about the momentum. I really am. I think people will see that. The bulk of our country is this great, solid middle class that we've built up, and they're suffering right now. And every time I look at the other side, I just don't see. I see how if Mitt is elected, I'm fine. He takes care of me beautifully. But I don't know how my next-door neighbor does with him. I don't see what in those policies keep my next-door neighbor moving forward. I do see it with the president, and I think by the time they get to the ballot box, the majority of Americans are going to see it, too.
All right. Jason Alexander, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thanks, Michael. We got to play poker sometime.
Okay. I'm in. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, this hour went fast. What did you want? The lovely Veronica's here with me. What did you want to say?
Great.
I want to thank Jason Alexander, Madeline Albright, Ted Strickland, Jennifer Bruner, Gina Miller Shelton, and everybody else who called in today. Hour went too fast. See you next week.
Go, go, rock and roll.
You've
been enjoying the best dish in Ohio here at the Blue State Diner with Michael Allwood, a production of Talk 1580 WBKO. Make sure to join us next week at noon. No reservations required here at the Blue State Diner.
Hi, this is Kenny Pick from Turn Up the Night. Be sure to check out my show every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk. If you tune in, you might hear something like this.
It is time for all Americans to realize how significant this election is.
Okay.
And how lucky we are to have someone with qualifications and experience and know-how to be able to have the opportunity to run this country.
Into the ground. She's
fortunate, aren't we?
She's angry at the other Republicans saying, if you think you can do better, you should get in the ring. Well, a lot of them did.
Well, yeah. She said it's time for all Americans to realize how lucky he even performs for you bastards.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No.
No.
That's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick, every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio, AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.